The Sultan of Sizzle. The Titan of Toastiness. The Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones. Those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard. They have the backyard. Because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Assuming that producer Jay dials up this music on this production, as we call it in the biz, because he needs you to wake up. We are 2 hours to the weekend, peeps, and we've got two championship games to preview. While we're on the two theme, we're into the second semifinal at the Australian Open on the men's side. Believe it or not, Novak Djokovic ousted in four sets, and he barely managed to stay alive in the third set. He won in a tiebreak, but did have to erase a match point against the Italian Jannik Sinner, who is into his first ever Grand Slam final. So congratulations to him. Meanwhile, Novak is left to contemplate what went wrong.
I was, in a way, shocked with my level, you know, in a bad way. I mean... Not much I was doing right in the first two sets. And, yeah, I guess this is one of the worst Grand Slam matches I've ever played.
Wow.
At least that I remember. So, yeah, you know, not a very pleasant feeling playing this way. But at the same time, you know, credit to him for doing everything better than me, you know, in every aspect of the game.
How about that? A humbling experience for the number one player in the world. Novak Djokovic has his dominance, his grip, loosened at the Australian Open. In fact, get this, he never lost in the semifinals of the Australian Open in his entire career. What about that? But the 22-year-old Italian Sinner broke Novak's serve twice in each of the first two sets. Sinner didn't have his serve broken. Congratulations to him. That's amazing. So Novak will not win his record 11th Australian Open title, and his 25th major will have to wait for later on this year for another opportunity. It was incredible to watch. Especially with Sinner's serve. That was a major weapon slash asset in this match. The other semifinal is going on right now, down under. Daniil Medvedev and I forgot Zverev's. I forgot his first name.
Alexander.
I was close. I was so close.
I would never have guessed that. With the last name Zverev, I never would have guessed that.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Also, his coach is getting in trouble for talking from the stands. You're not supposed to be talking to your player from the stands. In fact, Medvedev is calling for the coach of Zverev to get kicked out because you're not supposed to be communicating with your player from the stands. It's against the rules. You could actually see your player... Your athlete can get docked points. You get warnings and then you get docked points. Ultimately, could actually lose a game if your coach continues to speak to you from the box. So you're not supposed to be coaching. When these athletes are out there in tennis events, it's not like golf where you have a caddy, maybe you have an agent or a coach walking with you. No, you're not supposed to have any communication from anyone else when you're out there on the court. It's a lonely feeling. I feel like It's the loneliest sport. I mean, you have a team around you, but you're out there on your own island when you're competing. Anyway, so Medvedev is not thrilled with Zverev's coach.
The judge was very stern.
Mm. Did you hear him? Because I don't have the audio up in here.
No, I didn't hear him. I just see his face.
He's
not messing around.
Yeah, no, he's not. He gave a warning. So beware.
Serious warning.
Serious warning. Don't be messing with this.
Gonna give him the boot.
With this chair umpire. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As much as I am blown away by Novak Djokovic losing in the semifinals and really getting unceremoniously dumped out by Sinner, I'm just as astonished that Bill Belichick does not have a coaching job. Will he coach anywhere in 24? That now becomes the question. I don't think there's any way he ends up in Seattle. That to me feels weird. Why would John Schneider go from Pete Carroll, who's got, 15 years of experience, 14 years coaching there, to a guy who's a year younger? That part just makes no sense to me. And I'm not saying that Bill Belichick isn't an upgrade. I mean, I guess that's subjective. If you're just measuring by Super Bowl rings, of course he is. They went head-to-head in a Super Bowl. Bill won. But it just doesn't seem like if you fire Pete Carroll that you're looking for a Bill Belichick. I don't know. It's hard to explain, really. But given their tenure in their previous jobs and their ages and their experience, if what you were looking for was Belichick, Pete Carroll's already there, right? So he's already would you call him a Hall of Fame coach?
Pete Carroll?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah? Okay, so at least, if nothing else, he's mentioned. He's on the docket whenever his turn comes up. And I don't know that he's officially retired. But it's either Seattle. Oh, could you imagine if he took a defensive coordinator job?
No. It crossed my mind. If that's something he would consider, I don't think so. He can't,
no
right?
way. Who's going to tell Bill Belichick what to do?
I mean, he'd be great at it,
But maybe he wants that. Maybe he doesn't want to be in charge.
I think he would have taken that or made that clear, right? Because then it would have been on his terms. He would have said, I want to be a defensive coordinator, he would have made that clear already, so this conversation wouldn't have happened. He would have put the kibosh on that.
He did interview for head coaching jobs, right. So there's that, yeah. Right? If he didn't want to be a head coach, why would you take those interviews? It is really interesting that after speculation, this is before he ever parted ways with Bob Kraft, after speculation about Washington, unless it's been some secret clandestine interview, he's not even a consideration there. That's really interesting to me. And by interesting, I mean head scratching. Odd. Strange.
I guess they're a team trying to rebuild, maybe, and he's not more looking to do that. Maybe. I don't know if that's his decision.
I mean, we're speculating. Yeah. We have no idea. Except that both Atlanta and Carolina have quarterback projects, right? Atlanta doesn't really have one. I can't imagine they're going with Desmond Ridder again. So they're going to be in the free agent. We'll call it a portal. They're going to be in the free agent portal again. And Washington still has to figure it out. Maybe Sam Howell gets another opportunity. It really depends on what else they can find, though. That revolving door at quarterback in Washington just continues to spin.
I will see them drafting someone at number two this year and then probably going with Sam Howell for, I don't know,
backup?
6 weeks? Let him play it out a little bit, see how the season goes.
A lot of the quarterbacks that are coming out will be expected to start.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's always the best idea.
Well, agreed. I'm just saying, they're going to draft him high up.
Caleb will start, right? You'd imagine
where Caleb Williams, yeah. Well, I mean, most people think there's no way that Chicago doesn't pick him. So maybe Justin Fields is available.
Maybe Justin Fields is available.
Baker Mayfield's available.
Kirk Cousins is available.
He's not going back to Washington.
Russell Wilson. Is he available?
True. Probably is available, but the price could be steep.
How about Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah.
What are the Raiders going to do with him? He signed a 3-year deal, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So he's got 2 years left on his deal. They're clearly not going to go with him.
Right. But is anybody else interested now?
a team maybe like the Falcons or the Steelers who have a good team.
The Steelers.
Who just need a quarterback who is not going to maybe lose or turn it over. I don't.
Like, Mason Rudolph's available.
Yeah.
Mason could be available. He kind of resurrected his career until the playoff game. Anyway.
Yeah.
There are definitely some names out there. So we'll have to see what happens. But I am astonished that Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel do not currently have jobs. Would Mike Vrabel be a fit in D.C.?
I could see him more. Not that I could. I never would have picked this to begin with, but I could see him maybe going to the Seahawks. Maybe. I could see him going to the Seahawks more than I could see Bill Belichick,
right.
Of course.
That fit doesn't work. Yeah. Well, we'll have to comb through the insider's intel and see if we can find anything new on these other two coaching opportunities. But what we know now is the NFC South is filled out with one defensive coordinator and actually a former interim head coach there in Atlanta, though the job was Dan Quinn's and he inherited it. But Raheem Morris hasn't had his own head coaching job since 2011 and now is the head coach again. And he's got a lot of people who will rave about him until the cows come home. I don't know where I got that phrase from. And then Dave Canales taking over as the new head coach in Carolina, where his primary responsibility will be finding the best of Bryce Young. Bryce Young needs to live his best life, and that's Dave Canales' primary job. But Golden Tate is absolutely on board with the Canales hire.
I remember Dave. Always been a hard worker, always had a lot of knowledge, always had a lot of enthusiasm. And I think he's going to fit in great with the young team over there. And besides that, what he did in Tampa this year, when I know I didn't give him much of a chance, is really impressive. So I'm excited for him.
And then thinking about, so those are an offensive and defensive coordinator, an offensive guy in Brian Callahan in Tennessee, and he was introduced on Thursday. And so you've got two O coordinators and a D coordinator.
The connection from the get-go was incredible. And I knew that it was going to be a place that I wanted to call home. It felt like that from the very beginning. I'm thankful that they felt the same way. I was about to make an impassioned plea to Ran as our meeting was concluding on Monday evening. And it turns out I didn't have to do that. They wanted me about as exactly the same way that I wanted them.
So Brian Callahan in the AFC South. So three South jobs are filled. And then Jim Harbaugh from college in the AFC West. And this is kind of cool. We haven't heard from him yet. I'm not exactly sure when he is going to speak. But his brother, John, is getting ready for his AFC Championship game in Baltimore. And he's all excited for his bro.
My thoughts are we play next year. So we're looking forward to all of it. You know, I'm just very happy for him, proud of him, excited for him, excited for his family. I heard my mom and dad told me that he called back in the evening and he found out that all of his kids, starting with Addie and Katie, had their bags packed already. They're ready to go. So they're excited too. So it's going to be great. He's well-deserved. And I'll say this, the Chargers just got themselves one great coach.
I love their relationship. It's really cool. Also, he says that he's still trying to convince Jim before he dons the powder blue and gold that he needs to put on purple and black for Sunday.
I actually thought about that. Will Jim be wearing Ravens gear if he comes in for the game this weekend? I don't know the answer to that. We may have to require it, perhaps. I mean, you know. So that's a good question.
The defensive coordinator job in Miami is open. Maybe Bill Belichick would like to go work with Mike McDaniel. Vic Fangio, by the way, left the Dolphins and is expected to get the job in Philadelphia. So Philadelphia is changing both coordinators 2 years in a row. That's crazy, isn't it? Both coordinators 2 years in a row.
I'm just imagining a conversation between Mike McDaniel and Bill Belichick.
Did you? Maybe he'll go to the Giants and be the new D coordinator under Brian Daboll.
I know he loves the Giants. Maybe he's waiting out a year to see what happens with Brian Daboll in the next season. It's a big season for Daboll.
Are you suggesting that Daboll might get the boot?
If the season doesn't go well next year, it's definitely possible.
Maybe he could go work in Buffalo, replace Ken Dorsey, I guess we don't know yet whether or not Brady is going to keep that job.
Allen seems Joe to Brady. Like him.
Josh does seem to like it. Let's see. Where else is there a coordinator? Oh, he could be the offensive coordinator back in Cleveland.
Oh, that'll go well. The Jets might be looking for a coach.
They hate him there. The Jets are looking for a coach next year, you mean?
Yeah, next year.
Oh, my gosh.
Could be early on into the season, maybe. Yeah. Remember what happened when Bill went to the Jets last time?
Right. I mean, if we're going by what a lot of the insiders are saying, even though Washington has interviewed a ton of people and they still have second rounds of interviews set up with a handful of those guys, they've been very quiet about it. This is the new ownership group spearheaded by Josh Harris. Ben Johnson is seemingly the guy that everyone's putting there. But, you know, at the same time, Bill Belichick was destined for Atlanta when this whole process started, and that's not the direction Arthur Blank ended up going in. So be prepared for curveballs. But, yeah, a lot of people are tying Ben Johnson to the job in Washington, which would leave only Seattle, and then coordinator gigs or TV gigs. I just can't imagine Bill Belichick on TV. He's done specials for NFL Network, and he knows football like nobody's business, but he just doesn't play the game.
No, he's not very entertaining to listen to.
Right. He can be monotone. He is funny, but...
Sure.
It's weird. I just don't know if his personality would translate as well on TV or radio.
What would he do, you think? Like, he wouldn't be like a color commentator. He'd be more like an analyst, right?
Well, I mean, they're the same thing. He'd be a straight man, though. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine him making jokes.
No, I mean, more would he? Could you see him being like calling games?
He wouldn't be play by play. He would be
or like
an analyst,
a halftime show, or
I see what you're saying. Yeah. In the booth or on at the what would they call
desk
that?
Or,
at the desk. There you go. That's a good question. Probably at the desk would be a better fit, because then you can hand him topics and say these are yours, as opposed to off the cuff or what has to be taking place on the fly in a booth. I mean, it's not his football knowledge. It's just whether or not he can package it in a way that's somewhere between Tony Romo and Matt Ryan.
I think I'd be interested to hear what he'd have to say.
Well, I would too, but what if he doesn't want to? What if he's nah?
Yeah, of course.
That's not, I'm just not interested in that.
But if he was into it and like put into the time and effort into that he did coaching, he could be. I mean, he's obviously, like you're saying, he's a brilliant football mind.
He's brilliant, but the communication part.
If he could take that channel, that humor, which he's able to sometimes, and just be that all the time.
But he mumbles.
I know. But like you said, he's shown flashes of being like.
Right. So the NFL Network specials where they did the top 100 and it was like top 10 quarterbacks, top 10 this, top 10 coaches. He is a football historian in addition to being a mad scientist. It's not the knowledge part. And when he's engaged and wants to, yeah, he can be very entertaining. But the personality is still much more monotone. It's football that gets him excited. Mm-hmm. Football and Bon Jovi.
He's a big Bon Jovi fan?
He is a big Bon Jovi fan. Actually, a big music fan. Anyway, it's just, I don't know. I can't see that. I could see a year off and then waiting for the right job. That's what Mike McCarthy did, whether he wanted to initially or not. He got the best job. What?
I said, speaking of.
Speaking of.
Could be that one.
Stop it. Will you stop firing him? We haven't even started the next season yet.
Fire him.
Okay, coming up, a little bit about my trip to Augusta. I know you guys are all thrilled that I didn't get arrested for stalking Augusta National. I had to see Magnolia Lane multiple times. When you're taking a photo, you don't get a chance to soak it in, so we had to go back. It was really cool. And you can vote for After Hours Game of the Week. We'll get to QB news and our previews and all of that jazz coming up in the final 90 minutes of the week. I haven't slept in a couple of days. Well, I've slept one night in like the last 3 days. So if I say something that makes no sense, just nod and smile.
Day by day.
Yeah, right. That's only a principle that applies to one of us when we're sleeping. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We don't have time for that.
CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Baby, there's nothing
holding. The Sultan of Sizzle. The Titan of Toastiness. The Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones, those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard, they have the backyard, because they know a Solo Stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
Listen up. I won't sugarcoat it. This is the longest cold, flu, and allergy season we've ever seen, but we're not alone. We've got Instacart. Sure, you may be a coughing snot faucet who just wants mommy, but you're not giving up! Not when cold medicine, fragrant herbal teas, and honey shaped like bears can be delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes! Now let's go win the sick playoffs!
Daddy, I just want my soup.
Oh, sorry, Sport app says it'll be here in a few minutes. Instacart for the win.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
You take me places that tear up my reputation, manipulate my decisions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back.
Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
There's nothing holding me back.
Good morning, Amy. Thank you for taking my call. I love your show. You help keep me awake and alert.
Hey, Amy. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to congratulate you by the way that you have been to the program tonight. I woke up about 1-something. Oh. I've been with you ever since.
Hey, God bless you, Amy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great.
Hey, Amy. I love listening to you.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Amy. How you doing? First-time caller. Love your show. Love you. Wonderful. In the words of Ric Flair.
Woo!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There's nothing holding me back. Oh, oh, oh. There's nothing holding me back. I feel so free when you're with me, baby. Baby, there's nothing holding me back.
If you needed a jam to wake up on your Friday morning, oy, I'd rather be up all night than to have to wake up at such an hour. Whether it's 4:25 Eastern time, 3:25 Central time, no, I might as well just be up all night because I stink at mornings and it would take me forever to get warmed up and going. I did mornings a couple times in my career and it was not pretty. So I am back with you for another 90 minutes and then off for the weekend. But just so you know, I was working really hard while I was gone. I was in Augusta, Georgia for the Peach Belt Conference Women in Sports Seminar. And it was really neat to participate, first off, in a panel discussion that featured 9 women in all walks of the sports industry. There was a head softball coach. There was a woman who worked in NCAA compliance. There was a woman who participates or works for a subsidiary of U.S. soccer for the state of Georgia. So she runs Georgia soccer for the U.S. Soccer Federation. There was another athletic trainer there. There was a couple different educators. Also, there was an athletic director for a D3 school, which was really neat. An African-American woman that was in charge. She was awesome. Learned a lot from her. And then there was a ref, a D1 basketball official. She was super cool. She's been doing it for 11 years, 12 years, and has worked all manner of games, including NCAA tournament games. And she was really cool to hear from. Anyway, so I was part of this panel. There was also a soccer announcer who works for SiriusXM as well as Charlotte FC. She had graduated from a school in the Peach Belt Conference, and so they brought her back as an incredibly special guest. So it was awesome to be part of that panel where the young women, the athletes, and some of the younger administrators from the conference would ask questions. And it was really cool just to be part of a group that was sharing, you know, some of their stories, some of the hardships, but also some of the successes and victories, and to learn from them. Oh my gosh, one of the questions was about balancing personal and professional and finding a proper work-life balance. And so it was a question that was posed to every member of the panel. And they got to me and I said, hey, I'm just here for the intel. I've got married 5 weeks ago and I'm still trying to figure it out. So that was fun. It was just really neat to hear from so many other women. And then after a great lunch, we did these breakout sessions that the conference dubbed professional speed dating, where you would sit at a table, the different panelists, and then the young women, the athletes or the coaches or the young administrators would come around and sit at your table and theoretically ask questions, except they would sit down at my table and just stare at me. So I would start the conversation. But it was fun. It was really neat to meet some young women who are still participating in sports and talk to them about how college athletics have changed, the transfer portal. I got the skinny on the transfer portal. It's not as cool as you think it is. Someday I'll have to tell you about it because it's not what it's made out to be. Unless you are an athlete that's already well known, is going to have people who are searching for you specifically. Otherwise, you are lost in a sea of names. And so that was kind of an education for me. And then to talk to some of the other young women who are now starting careers in sports, that was really cool as well, to kind of encourage them and say, hey, take advantage of being in a room with 85 to 90 other women who are either in similar spaces as you or are maybe more experienced than you and have some ideas about how you can get your foot in the door, how you can advance, and how do you find opportunities, and then what do you do when you've got an opportunity. It just was really neat because they were from all walks of industry in the world of sports. And the last thing then was my keynote address. And I told them flat out how nervous I was because, and I said this to them, I'm generally not talking while people are staring at me, right? So producer Jay, he's busy behind the double pane glass. We do have a conversation and he's the person I look at most often, but half the time he's paying zero attention because he's doing something else. Well, that's not fair. Half the time he's not looking at me because he's doing other things. Sometimes he's eating. Sometimes he's drinking. Sometimes he's cleaning up the mess left by the people before him.
Often.
Yeah, sometimes he's, I don't know, pulling sound for another segment. So he's busy doing his own thing. But it does help to have a human on the other side of the glass. It's just that he's more of a security blanket. So I'm not really talking to him. I'm talking to you most of the time. I don't need it. When I take my show on the road or when I did my show from home during the pandemic, I was staring into a corner in my spare bedroom. So it's not necessary to have someone to look at. But when I'm standing at a podium and there are 80 young women staring at me, it is entirely different. That is such a different experience. So I was nervous enough. Now, I had written my notes down. This is how I generally come up with these things. I jot them down in a notebook, and then I go back and I consolidate and I rearrange and I organize and I use color-coded markers if I need to, and I number my points. So writing it down again helps me remember it, but it also helps me to stay more organized. Except that because I was nervous, I was going through my 5x7 cards and somehow got them mixed up. And then toward the end was like, uh-oh, where's my card? I don't know. I must have flipped it over. And so I couldn't see the end, or like I put conclusion on the last card and I had my number 3 point. And so after I made my number 3 point, I flip over a card, but I'd already used that side of the card and was like, oh no. And so I'm kind of sliding through my cards. And I'm at this point, I know I'm running out of time. I told Jay I had way more material. I thought I was going to be under the 30 minutes, but because I tell stories, well, you know me, I take the scenic route. So because I tell stories and I have tangents in my spaghetti plate brain, and just in general, taking time and kind of making my way through it and letting them have an opportunity to think about what I was saying, they also had to do a couple exercises with me, just write down a few lists that I asked them to write down. And so for that reason, it ended up taking the entire time, and I had more material I could have used. And so I wasn't expecting that either. I had to wrap it up before I, you know, felt like I'd gotten to everything. But that's okay, too. So I did finish, only losing my place once or twice on my wayward note card. Thankfully, I had the notebook in front of me, so I just went back to the notebook to find my place. But yeah, it's a little scary. Just as a side note, so you know this is something that's not just in my professional life. I have never been more petrified than when my new hubs and I were doing our first dance at the reception and everyone was staring at us. I do not do well when everyone is staring at me.
I will say, though, just more for the speaker, with everyone staring at you, it's a good thing.
It is. You're right. They were engaged. Some were smiling. They were doing the exercises. I only saw one girl yawn. So you're right. To have them all staring at me means they're looking at me because they're expectant and they're listening. But I don't love people staring at me. Like I said, first dance, I was so uncomfortable. And I know now my husband has said, I made a comment that it wasn't meant to be hurtful, but it also wasn't real nice about him and his dancing because I was so nervous and I really don't remember what I said or what I was doing, only that I was petrified to be up there dancing. It's one thing to be talking. It's another thing to be dancing, which is not something I'm great at. And we were laughing and we had a good time, but it was not, I don't do well when I'm the center of attention like that. I much prefer to be hiding in my radio studio where no one's looking at me, right? You don't really count.
Do you know,
I get that a lot.
Do you know how our elevator has like fun facts?
Yes.
So I saw one the other day and it said, fear of public speaking, try this. And it said, think of it in your own mind if you have to give a public speech.
Don't say people in their underwear.
No, it said, think of it like you're doing them a service. Like the information you have to offer is so valuable that they wouldn't be the same if they didn't hear what you had to say. And I was like, that's interesting.
All right. That's a good confidence boost. Yeah. Would you like to know what I talked about?
Yes.
Now, here was the hard part. They gave me no parameters except for 30 minutes. Just go.
Let's go.
Talk. Yeah. Like they said, you pick the topic. You do whatever you want.
Inform us.
Which was also a little bit disconcerting because I wasn't going to talk about radio for 30 minutes. That's not something that a lot of these young women, I mean, they would have been interested, I suppose, in the stories, but not in it as a career. And I wanted to be a support and an encouragement to them. So my overall umbrella theme was identity. And I started out by asking them to write down who they believe they are. What is your identity? And I shared some of my identity roles, right? So that it's not only who you see yourself as, but who others see you as. So things like, well, new wife, daughter, granddaughter, auntie, radio host, writer, goofball, zookeeper, hiker, runner, coffee lover, piano player. So I asked them to take a couple minutes and write those down. I probably, in hindsight, gave them too much time. Maybe that's why I ran out, because it got so quiet in there.
They were focused.
They were very focused. And so from identity, I went to some main principles that I felt like are important to preserve your identity. Because in 2024, what's one of the number one threats to who you are as a person? Like, who you are as a young woman specifically is social media. So I went through a lot of some of the challenges with social media here on the show, but also some of my main, because people, everywhere I go, people ask me, how do you deal with social media? And for a group of that age, most of them in their early to mid 20s, that was really important. In fact, the athletic director said to me afterwards, or the conference commissioner said to me afterwards, the social media, you knocked it out of the park. Like, so that was big. But the second thing was about my identity, which is role model, not supermodel. It's been something that I've done for the past 15 years. And so just talking to them about the qualities you learn in sports are the qualities that you can not only emulate to people who are watching, but also you can use those forward in your career. So that was kind of number two. And then the third one was choose your battles. Not every battle is worth your time and energy. And I shared some of like the failures that I've run into, and not every battle is worth fighting, and you know, just careful how you spend your energy and your thoughts, because that also defines you. So that was essentially the main.
It's all great advice.
Thank you. That was essentially the main kind of outline. And then I told some stories too. And so I, like I said, felt nervous. I feel like when I'm nervous that I really evaluate myself poorly. So I feel like it was terrible.
They were all engaged. Everyone's looking at you.
Or maybe they were falling asleep with their eyes open.
That'd be cool, but
anyway, so it was neat to meet a lot of them, especially the one other broadcaster who was there, and it was just an honor to represent the Peach Belt Conference. So I'm grateful for them again. for having me. And oh my gosh, she called me nationally renowned sports radio host. Well, I know, but it's funny to hear. Anyway, so it's neat. It was really neat. And they fed me well, and they got me as much coffee as I needed, and they took photos, and so it was good. It was fun. It was a quick trip, though. Very quick trip. So we'll see if it leads to something else. Or if I never get asked to speak again because I was nervous and stuttering.
Have you heard back from them since?
Well, yes. So Diana took me to the airport, and, you know, now we're fast friends. So.
Okay, so sounds like it went well.
She was worried about me missing my connection in Atlanta, where I got on the plane and the pilot promptly comes on after we push back from the gate. Well, we've been informed by air traffic control that there are 17 planes ahead of us for takeoff.
Isn't that the worst?
Yes. And so then, this is amazing though, Jay. This has never happened to me before in my entire life, and I've flown a ton. He comes on 10 minutes later. So we've all got our phones out again. People are standing up. They're getting into the overhead bins.
Make yourself comfortable.
Yeah, just might as well. You're going to be here a while. And all of a sudden, he says, guess what? Great news. ATC is what he called it. Air traffic control has allowed us to cut the line.
Why?
No, I don't know. We're going from 18th to first. So we pull out a line, we bust a move to the front, and we take off.
We have a national renowned radio host on this flight.
Stop it. That was not why. I'm assuming it's because we were already late. Yeah. I don't know.
No, that probably is.
But isn't that amazing?
That's insane.
Never happened before.
My year.
Any flight that I've ever been on, air traffic control, he said, let us cut the line. And we pulled out a line and went around a bunch of planes and took off within 30 seconds.
I would send that man a fruit basket. The controller. Thank you.
ATC. Atlanta ATC. If you were working on the night of January 25th, I got a gift for you. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, thank you, air traffic control in Atlanta. We were only about 10 minutes late getting back to New York.
I think he's your guardian
angel. It might be. Now, if only they can find the personal item that I left on the first plane.
What if he finds it?
Okay. He's not going to find it. He's in a tower. I left it on a Delta flight. Oh, that's the only bad part. That and the fact that I was so nervous and I lost my place in my notes. But otherwise.
Sounds like a great trip.
Next stop, Vegas, baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. By the way, Giannis Antetokounmpo speaking out for the first time about the coach that he picked.
Make this Valentine's Day one she'll remember forever with an engagement ring from JamesAllen.com. James Allen knows each love story is unique. That's why they make it easy to custom design engagement rings at up to half the price of a traditional jeweler. Choose from tons of conflict-free diamonds, both natural and lab-grown, then pick your ring setting and metal. Shop the James Allen Valentine's Day sale and get 25% off with promo code PODCAST. That's 25% off at jamesallen.com, promo code PODCAST.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Nobody wants a surprise in their jelly donut.
It's toothpaste?
That's because the middle is the most important part. At Graybar, we're at the middle of electrical and datacom jobs across the country, connecting installers, facility managers, and business owners with smart solutions for their most challenging projects, which means stocking and delivering crucial products on time and on budget, with no surprises, thanks to our nationwide logistics network. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
Who has since been fired?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's always surprising when, I see someone get fired, especially with a record like that. I think they're 30-13 or something. But I've seen stuff. David Blatt got fired from Cleveland. This is a very difficult league for coaches and players. So there's not much job security. Yet another reminder, this is a pretty tough business.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The reaction of Steve Kerr, who has as much job security as you can possibly have in the NBA, and he commenting about the abrupt firing of Adrian Griffin, which even caught people in Milwaukee off guard, and that includes one Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We now know, according to Sports Illustrated, in the last hour, Doc Rivers will be signing a four-year deal to take over. I mean, if you want an experienced head coach, why not just hire him in the first place?
Worth $40 million, I'll
add. Okay. Four-year deal reportedly worth $40 million for one Doc Rivers. All right. So then, what does Giannis have to say about the firing of the coach that he endorsed? He was 100% behind Adrian Griffin.
It's tough. You build a relationship with people. And all of a sudden, boom, they're not here. For a coach like Griff, I think from day one, everything was about togetherness. It was always leading this group, into the direction that we set in the beginning of the year. And him not being here, at the end of the day, we're human. It hurts.
I appreciate that Giannis is willing to let us behind the curtain, so to speak, and really share his emotions and the fact that this hurts. He was building something with Adrian. He believed in Adrian, and someone's there and then they're not. And that's how quickly things can change and how much it actually can hurt. And he says no way was he expecting this to happen.
I think he caught me by surprise. I've been here 11 years. This have happened one time before. And I think the time that happened, wasn't doing really well. We were 30, 30-13. But again, trust. I got to trust the front office. I got to trust the ownership group.
He does say he had absolutely nothing to do with this decision.
When somebody's being hired, at times, the GM might come and ask, what do you think about that? What do you think about this? Or whatever not just me, my players, people that he trusts the advice. But at times, they make it seem like it's the players that are making the decision that this guy got traded because this he wanted him and he, No, I have a job. My job is to be the best version that I can be and try to lead this team to win games. That's why I get paid. I don't get paid to change people's life and make people uncomfortable. I get paid to defend black shot. I try to stick to that as much as I can because I understand, I don't like that aspect of it. And there's people that get paid a lot of money to make those decisions, and those decisions are hard.
Seriously, the more he talks, the more I like him. He's so authentic and honest. He even has dad jokes, though this was not the appropriate time. And honestly, he doesn't want to get involved in these types of decisions. It's clear that he's uncomfortable in that arena.
I don't want to be involved in that. I don't like that. Have I been in a position to be asked, what do you think about that or what you think about this? Yeah, many times. But I was not involved in the, hiring of Coach Griff. I felt it was an attack with him, the same way I attacked with Coach Bud, but nobody said I was involved in hiring Coach Bud because I was a kid. But of course they asked, what do you think about this guy? I think he's a great guy. He looks like a good guy to me, which they was Coach Griff. Everybody are good people. But ultimately, I don't make that decision. Lori, don't get me wrong. I wish I did. You know, I wish I did, but I don't. I really don't. I just try to stick with basketball.
It's tough. It's tough for any player to be in, especially when it catches you off guard and you are 30-13, as he points out. And now you have to adjust to someone new. And Doc Rivers is generally known as a player's coach. I can't imagine it's going to be super abrasive. As a veteran, though, he's going to know how to, I don't want to say handle, but navigate the Damian Lillard, Giannis Antetokounmpo relationship, not just the spacing and the ball distribution and the sharing of the basketball, blah, 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 on the court, getting that pick and roll to the point where, I mean, theoretically, it would be seamless. It would be a real weapon, but also the defense. I mean, Doc is known as a defensive guy, and they desperately need an upgrade on the defense. Still, though, they were 30-13 with all these issues. It's astounding. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Nobody wants a surprise in their jelly donut.
It's toothpaste?
That's because the middle is the most important part. At Graybar, we're at the middle of electrical and datacom jobs across the country, connecting installers, facility managers, and business owners with smart solutions for their most challenging projects, which means stocking and delivering crucial products on time and on budget with no surprises, thanks to our nationwide logistics network. Yep, Graybar does that.